You know, one thing I learned from this little story is Easter's about Jesus, isn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Dying for our sins of the world, taking the punishment of sin with him to the grave, and Easter is about Jesus, rising from the dead so that we can have life, a life full of hope and purpose. Today is the most important day of celebration on the church calendar. Amen? It's the day that we as Christians can come together and celebrate the emptiness and fullness. Jesus is no longer on the cross. The cross is empty, and we have a reason to celebrate this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is no longer wrapped in grave clothes, and the grave clothes are empty, and we have a reason to celebrate that. Jesus is no longer in the tomb, and the tomb is empty, and we have a reason to celebrate that. We have a reason to celebrate because Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive, and he is risen just as he said he would. He's alive and living, and death has been defeated as well. The penalty of sin, your sin and my sin, has been paid for. Through Christ, I can have hope in my heart. Through Christ, I can celebrate this morning. Through Christ, my sins have been forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
I have a purpose for living today. I stand here with a purpose because I realize that purpose. Where there was death, there is now life in me. Amen? Where there was emptiness, there is now fullness in me. Where there was fear, there is now peace in my heart. Where there was confusion, there is now a purpose in my life. In fact, the New Testament teaches that God created you as he did me for a purpose. A purpose that can fill your life with meaning and significance. We look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. If you had a choice between a full life or an empty life, which would you choose this morning? Which would you choose? A life that is overflowing or a life that is empty? But Jesus promised a life full, a fulfilling life and an abundant life. That's what Jesus can give you this morning. You see, the cross is empty today. The grave clothes have been abandoned. The tomb is vacant so that our lives can become full. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. Did you know that you were planned for God's pleasure? You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. You're not a mishap of nature. Your parents may have not planned you, but God did. God knew you were coming even before anyone else knew it. He planned for you for his pleasure. And the Bible says this in Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that includes you and I. We are part of his creation. And in Psalms 149:4, it says, The Lord has pleasure in his people. He loves you and he loves me, and God created you to be an object of his love. And God made you to love you. God does not need us. He doesn't need me. He's God, but he wants me. He wants you. He wants us. You see, God is complete and he is perfect and he's self-sustaining and he's self-sufficient. But he does not need anybody. He doesn't need me, but he wants me. He wants you. He wants to love you, and he wants you to love him, and he wants you to worship him, and he wants you to bring him pleasure. Did you know that any time that we bring God pleasure, we're worshiping him? You're worshiping him when you sing. In fact, bringing pleasure to God is worshiping him. Think about it. Anytime you please God, you're worshiping Him. Any action that you take that makes God smile in an act of worship, any song that is sung that brings Him pleasure to His ears, and that's an act of worship. Any words you speak that make Him smile are words of worship. You see, worship is more than just a ceremony, or worship is more than just a prayer. Worship is more than a ritual or a religious act. Worship is bringing pleasure to God. When we are obedient to God and follow His ways, then we're bringing pleasure to God, and that is how we worship God in all things that we do. You were planned for God's pleasure. You were planned to bring God joy. You were planned to make God smile. And every once in a while, like this morning, we have children's programs, and I thank you, Jesse, so much for the work that you did in making this happen this morning. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Really, really good. And I know it's a lot of work, and I thank you for that. That brings pleasure to God. What Jesse did brings pleasure to God. What the kids did brings pleasure to God. And thank you, Jason, too. I won't leave you out. Because you got to put up with Jesse. I know that. And you know I love you. But you know, we have these programs here at the church, and when the children get up to sing, and the parents with their cell phones in hand, you know, and they're filming it like it's the next blockbuster movie, you know, smiles on their face. You know, why do they do that? They're smiling from ear to ear. And I remember when my kids were young, and you know, and Leon would be like knocking people out of the way, trying to get the perfect position, you know, especially at the school, you know, she's low crawling up the aisle. No. She'd call me ahead of time if I was running late, get us a good seat, gotta be up front. You know I'm telling the truth. But you know, we do that because our kids bring us pleasure. They bring us pleasure when they do these things. Like this morning, it brings us pleasure to see that. And when we do things, it brings God pleasure because He is our Father in heaven and He loves us. Amen. He wants to see us do good things for Him. We do those things that He enjoys, and we are planned for His pleasure, but that's not all. You were formed for God's family. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, long, long ago, God decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. God created you and I to become part of His family, and that family can start right here, right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. But it goes on to eternity. We can spend eternity together. Once you understand that amazing fact, it starts to make sense. You'll never again have the same reason to feel unimportant or insignificant. You'll never again have a reason to be lonely because you matter to God. He has made you in His image, and He loves you, and He wants you to be a part of His family. You were made to never be alone forever. Think about that. You were made to never be alone forever. Did you know that we have more people on this planet than ever before? But yet loneliness abounds. Loneliness is everywhere. People suffer with loneliness so much now. They feel isolated. They feel insignificant. People who are lonely feel excluded from the group, unloved by those around them, alienated from their surroundings, and there's no one whom they can share with. They are by themselves and have no other choice. Loneliness is painful. The awareness that you're not feeling connected to others and that your important needs are not being met. But God has a solution for that loneliness. You were formed for God's family, and God expects His family to love one another. That's what's so important about the church. It's so important that our church family loves one another and shows the world that we love one another because God first loved us. God has this solution, and God expects His family to love one another. And we know John 3:16. How many know John 3:16? For God so loved the world. We know that one so well. But how about 1 John 3:16? It says this: by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Amen? For the one another's. Because we love each other. You see, this verse talks about the love we should show to one another. Why? Because God loved us so much that Jesus came and died for us. But I can tell you this morning, the cross is empty. The grave clothes are empty and the tomb is empty, and now we should love one another with the same love that God loves us. He laid down His life for us and He rose again for us, and now we need to love one another, and this is called fellowship with one another. It's more than just a social event. It's more than just coffee and cookies. It's more than just casual conversation. It's a love that goes beyond that. It's a fellowship that goes beyond that. It's when you're there for somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's when you love somebody that much. It's committing yourself to take care of one another, just as Christ has loved you. We also should love one another. God has called us to be a family, and if you're a believer, Jesus is your Savior and God is your Father, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't need to feel lonely anymore. You were formed for a family. But that's not all. You were created to become like Christ. This is God's purpose for your life and my life. And the Bible says in Philippians 2, 4, and 5, don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. This verse tells us that we are to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Ephesians also tells us in 5:2 that walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. We are to have the same love in us that Christ had for us. And you see, God is interested in our character. He wants us to become like Him. And God is still in the creation business. He is still creating. He's ever creating. Do you remember what God said in the book of Genesis? He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. It doesn't mean that we're going to be God, because there's only one true God. But we are to be like God. He made us in His image, in His likeness. He wants us to act like Him. He takes us and makes us more and more like Christ. And God wants us to develop Christ's attitudes, to develop Christ's values, to develop Christ's morals and Christ's character. And we were created to become like Him. And no matter what this world tells you today, we are to become more like Christ. We are to have a moral compass. We as Christians often, you know, when we go through tough times in our life, and let me tell you, we all do. We all have tough times in our life. And sometimes we don't understand But if you understand that God is making you into his image, in the image of Christ, then it'll make more sense to you. Because to be made in the image of Christ, we must go through everything that Jesus went through. Think about that this morning. That includes loneliness. Jesus went through loneliness. He went through fatigue. He went through misunderstanding. He went through criticism and many other problems that he went through. But that helps build our character. For God to teach you love, you must be put around unloving people. That's hard to understand sometimes, but it's true. For God to teach you joy, you must go through times of grief to learn inner peace and patience. You must go through storms and chaos and stress. The fact is, God is more concerned with our character than he is with our comfort. God is still creating, and he wants to form you into the image of his son, Jesus, because you were created to become like Christ. You were created to become the image of Christ. Paul writes this promise in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It may take the rest of our lives, and for some of you, it may take all your life. It's going to take all of my life for me to get there. I remember Paul said right before he was martyred, he said, not that I've attained it all. I'm not there yet. Paul done great things. He was the greatest missionary in our scripture. But he said, I haven't got it all yet. But Christ will get me there. I'll get there someday. God is in the business of creating new Christians into the image of Christ. And he's working on each and every one of us every day. That's not all. Did you know that you were shaped for serving? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. This verse tells us that God has prepared work for us to do, and each one of us has a unique job in a unique place. I'd say that unique place is definitely Anna, right? We have a unique community. We're unique people. And God has placed every one of us right here that's here this morning. He put us here for a purpose and for a reason. And as long as we're in this community, God wants us to serve him in this unique place. God has shaped you for serving, but that's not all. Did you know that you were made for a mission? In John 17, Jesus is praying a prayer for his followers, and that's us now. And he says, Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I like that. Into the world, he says. The Christian life is to be a life of balance, for sure. We are to be active in the church, but we are to reach out to the world. And once you've learned the first four facts of living an abundant life, as I've spoken this morning, you're to pass that information on to everyone that you meet. Listen to me again. You're to pass that on to everyone that you meet. You've been made for a mission. And if you knew that you were going on a long trip and that you were going to be gone for a long time, what would your parting words be? Here's what Jesus said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. You know, I want you to notice all the action words there. Go and make and baptize and teach. And, you know, this is our vision statement for the church, not just the Nazarene church. It is a big part of the Nazarene church. It's only two words, and it says make disciples. We should be making disciples. We should be making disciples. You hear that this morning? We should be making disciples, church. That's our job. That is our vision, and that is our mission. And how do we do it? We go. We go. We go, and we keep going, and then we send people out. Another way to put it, we bring them in, we build them up, we train them up, and then we send them out. And we just keep doing that, and we keep doing that generation after generation. We should think that way with our kids. We should think that way with our grandkids. We should think that way with everyone that we meet. Everyone. Have you ever wondered why, once we become saved, that God has left you here? Why didn't He just take us on home? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. Just go to heaven. You know, I mean, things are perfect there, right? Are we scared of heaven today? Why doesn't God just take us to heaven right now, this morning? It's because He's given us a mission, and we're left here to tell others about Jesus. He's given us this mission, and it's there. Is there someone you know who doesn't know Jesus? Can you think about someone this morning that's on your mind, on your heart, that doesn't know Jesus? I think all of us have somebody we know. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Start praying for them. Start looking for ways to show God's love to them. Start sharing Christ with them. That's your mission. You know, if we all just won one person to Christ this year, what an impact that would make. Just one person. You know, if we all brought one person to church, we would double our congregation. That's simple math, isn't it? One person. One person. It's Easter, and the cross is empty, and the grave clothes are empty. The tomb is empty, but God can give you fullness this morning. You were planned for a purpose, and you were formed for God's family, and you were created to become like Christ. You were shaped for serving, and you were made for a mission. And no wonder Jesus said this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Remember that this morning. I'm so glad that you've come this morning, and I hope that you leave with Jesus in your heart. I hope that you leave knowing what the risen God can do for you. Jesus is alive today. Amen. 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 So go and tell the whole world that Jesus is alive. He is not dead. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has never made that commitment to follow you, that they make that commitment today. What a beautiful day it would be. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our communities, Lord, help us, Lord, share and show who you are. Lord, as we leave here today, we do not leave you. You go where we go. And I praise you and thank you again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.